moment, but I am a willing participant in this missions conference, and had Pastor not told me I was teaching this class, I would have volunteered and asked him if I could. I am honored to be with you today. It's always a blessing for me to be able to talk about missions and talk about the work of God and trying to help to encourage people and challenge them concerning missions, that we might be able to be more effective in what we're doing for the Lord. So I'm honored to be here. This morning, it's the Sunday school hour. Do you call it Sunday school here, or do you have a strictly Aussie name for it? Life stages. Aussie name, yeah. Some of us in the States have that Aussie name, too. We copied you, yes. Life stages. But you're not strictly British, correct? So, like, if I take my coat off, it's not, like, you know, terrible, because Pastor took his off, and so I guess it's okay. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, this morning, as we have the combined Sunday school hour, and we just want to kind of talk about Faith Promise missions, and for some of you that perhaps are new in the church, there might be something that you know, it might be that you haven't really been, this is your, you know, first introduction to Faith Promise, and so you're not that familiar with it. So I asked Pastor V, okay, if I just took a few minutes and just talked about Faith Promise missions in the Sunday school hour to kind of reinforce what many of us already know, and then introduce for the new people, what is this? What is Faith Promise Missions? What is this that we're doing when we're filling out the commitment card tonight? What is this all about? And so I thought we would take time to do a question and answer time concerning Faith Promise Missions. It's question and answer time. Now, normally, with a question and answer session, how does that operate here in Australia? How do you do that? Normally, how would that work? We're going to have a question and answer time. How's that going to work?
No one asking questions.
So, but what's the format? The format would be that who asks the questions and who gives the answers? How? You do what? Okay, so normally, in a question and answer time, you would ask the questions and I would give the answers, correct? Is that correct? Like this? In Australia? Okay. Let's don't do that. Let's don't do that. So let's do it different today. So if we were not going to do it the normal format where you ask the questions, I give the answers, what would be the next format then? I ask the questions and you give the answers. Okay. Let's don't do that. Let's don't do that. So if we're not going to do the first one, the second one, let's do something a little bit different. How about I ask the questions and I give the answers. Okay? So a little bit different today. I ask the questions and I give the answers. Questions and answers about Faith Promise Missions. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. The Bible says in verse 9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." The subject in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 is a special offering that is being raised for the purpose of missions. They are raising a special offering not for their churches, but for the churches combining together to raise a special offering to send the money back to the first church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem has fallen on hard times. We don't know exactly what happened, famine, whatever it might have been. But the churches that had now been planted across that part of the world were raising money to send it back to the first church where Christianity had all begun, where the churches had begun, way back at the, we could call the mother church, the first church. And so they're raising money for a special offering. And that's really what we're doing. We're talking in our conference today about Faith Promise Missions. And Faith Promise Missions is something where we're raising money as a special offering to help to plant churches around the world. And so this morning, we'll come back to this in just a few moments, but let's come back, let's take that question and answer time. Now, the plan that you use at your church is called Faith Promise Missions. That's what we call it. That's a good plan. I think it's the best plan. It's the plan that I've always used in over 40 years of pastoring. The churches that I've pastored, I always introduced to them faith, promise, missions. It was introduced to me when I went to Bible college back in the dark ages. In fact, Noah and I went to Bible college together right after the flood. But when Noah and I were in Bible college, they introduced faith, promise, missions. And I thought, first time I'd ever heard of it, I thought, this is great. This is biblical. This is a wonderful thing to do. And so all through the years, I have introduced that concept or that method of missions to the churches I've pastored. It's a plan. It's a way to raise money to help support missions to plant churches around the world. Every church has some kind of a plan, right? Not every church uses faith promise. You don't have to use faith promise. I think it's the best plan, but I'm not against other plans. I think we ought to plant churches. We ought to have missions. Every church has some kind of a plan. For example, some churches have what I would call the emotional plan. The emotional plan is that there's no set way to do missions in our church, but we do. So let's say that we don't have a plan, but we do want to do missions, and so once in a while we will introduce a missionary to come in, and then it's based on emotion. If the missionary tells sad stories, if he shows pictures of starving children, if he can pull on our emotions and draw and cause us to feel emotionally connected or to feel sorry or to feel bad or feel sad, then we'll give money so that to help that missionary with his missions. That's really not the best plan. That's really not the best way to do it. Faith promise is much better than that. So some churches have an emotional plan. I'm not against that. I'm not for it, but I'm not against it. I'd rather you did that than nothing, right? I'd rather you do something than do nothing. Some churches use a budget plan. A lot of churches do this. They'll say they'll take 10% of their offerings or 20% or whatever it might be, and they set it aside into a separate account and use for missions. Again, that's better than the emotional plan. But it's not as good as faith promise. The budget plan doesn't require any faith from the individual member. So, for example, let's suppose that I'm a member of that church and I'm just going to throw a number out. I don't know what numbers are. I don't know what the economy is and that sort of thing in Australia. But let's say I'm making $1,000 a week, $1,000 Australian a week. I'm pulling that number out because it's easy to figure. And so 10% would be my tithe, right? So I'm taking $100 a week out of the 1,000, and I'm tithing. I'm putting that into the church. Then the church officers are taking that money, and they're taking 10% of that out, and they're placing it into a separate, a special account to support missions. So I'm giving to the church, and then they're using a portion of that to support missions. It's not a bad plan, but it requires no faith on my part. I'm not really, I'm just tithing. I'm just tithing, and I'm not praying about it and asking God what He would have me to give, and I'm not, God's not, the Holy Spirit's not really working on my heart. I'm having a part by giving, by tithing. Now, again, that budget plan's is not a bad plan. It's better than the emotional plan, right? It's better than bringing a missionary in and having to, I have to tell sad stories in order to be able to raise money for the mission field. But there's a better plan. And I think a very scriptural plan, and one we get right out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And this is called faith promise. So this morning, let me just have some questions and answers about faith promise, because these are things that I've run into through the years as I've introduced this plan to churches and to the churches I've pastored. I've had people ask me these questions. Pastor, we're going to do faith promise. We're going to fill out a card. We're going to ask, we're going to write down on a card. In fact, do you have one of those cards, Pastor, that I can I use right now? I would introduce this card to people and say, now, what we're going to do at the end of our conference, we're going to fill out this faith promise card, and our weekly commitment is so much money that we're going to give over and above our tithe to missions. That money then will be set aside for missions. And I've had people ask me, well, Pastor, this is all new to me. I've never done this before. Is this weekly commitment, is this a pledge that I'm making to the church? And the answer to that is no. It's not a pledge in the sense of, You know, it's a, kind of a legal binding obligation that you're making to the church. If this was, what this is a commitment between you and God. This is you saying, this is what I believe God wants me to do, and by faith, I'm going to make a commitment to give X amount of money over and above my tithe, over and above my normal giving, to Faith Promise, which will be set aside to support missionaries. So, is this a pledge? No. If this was a pledge, and I'm not sure what you would call the word. By the word pledge, what I'm talking about is where you have a contract, and you sign the contract, and you say, this is how much I'm going to give, and if you don't give it, then somebody's going to come back and show you the contract and say, you know, where's your money? You notice that there's no place for this on your name. If this was a contract, a pledge contract, we'd have a place for your name. And if you didn't give that, so let's say you say, I'm gonna give $100 a week to Faith Promise. I'm just pulling out a number. So I'm going to give $100 a week. And then you didn't give that $100, somebody would call, ring you up and say, hey, we noticed you didn't give your $100 this week. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have somebody swing by and pick it up. You know? Or, you know, it's Tuesday morning and the door, you hear a knock on the door and the pastor's standing there with a big smile on his face saying, I just came by to pick up that $100 that you pledged that you were going to give to missions. You know, we're really counting on that. Would you like to give it right now or you want me to come back in 30 minutes? I can come in and sit down while you prepare it, you know. No, it's not. This is a commitment between you and God. It's not a pledge, a contract that you're signing with the church. This is a commitment between you and God. Now let me warn you of something. The fact that it is a commitment between you and God does not mean, therefore, it's not important. It is important. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4. Let me just read it for you. When thou vowest a vow unto God. So this is a commitment you're making to God. Defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Now, so another thing that I've had people say to me is this. I've heard this several times in America. Well, okay, Pastor, I get what you're saying. We're making a commitment to God to give. But, you know, I don't believe in writing down commitments. I don't believe in making commitments and writing them down. I'll give to missions, but I just don't believe in, I don't believe in writing it down. Now, can I say this to you? Really? Really? You know, I was born at night. I was born at night, my mama tells me. But it wasn't last night. I've been around for a while. And so when people say things to me that are obviously wrong, sometimes I can figure it out. You say, if you were to say to me, you know, missionary, I don't believe in making commitments, I don't write them down. Oh, really? Have you ever bought a house? Have you ever bought a car? Do you have a credit card? Did you write it down? Did you make a commitment? I think maybe the reality is this. It's not so much that we don't believe in making commitments and writing them down. It's that we will do it with anything except something spiritual. We don't have a problem with it if we're going to buy a refrigerator. We don't have a problem with it if we're going to buy a house or a car. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pay $300 a month for that car, and I'll put my signature down, and I'll write it down. We're not even asking for your signature. We're just asking you to tell us how much you're going to give. You believe God wants you to give so that then the church can make a budget and have an idea of what they can do for missionaries. Now, can I say this to you? I am glad this morning that God believes in making promises and writing them down. God wrote down promises. He wrote them in His book, and they're for us. So number one, is it a pledge? Answer is no. Number two, is it a command? Do I have to do this? Again, the answer is no. Look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I read verse 9 a few moments ago. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. Again, Paul is using this verse to motivate them and encourage them with the example of Jesus Christ and their giving. But I want you to go back up to verse 8. Now remember, the context is this Faith Promise commitment, where they're making a commitment to give to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. Verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Paul says very clearly, I speak not by commandment. It is not commanded that you do this. It's not a commandment, it's compassion. It's showing compassion. There are many things in the Bible that God commands us to do, but Faith Promise Missions is not one of the things He commands us to do. This may mean that your pastor's thinking right now, well, you just spoke at our last Faith Promise Missions conference, bro. No, I'm teasing. He and I are on the same page with this. Look, you're not commanded to do this. If you decide, hey, I'm not going to fill out that card, I'm not going to give the missions, okay, we love you. You're not going to be a. We don't have like first class church members and second class church members and third class church members, and the first class church members are the ones that tithe and give to missions, and the second class church members are the ones who tithe but they don't give to missions. Third class, you're accepted and loved here. You're a part of this body. You're a part of this church, and there's no place for your name on it, so nobody's even going to know whether you're giving or not, but except you and God. So it's not like they're going to take these commitment cards and look over them tonight after the service and say, okay, well, this is who did and this is who didn't. Nobody knows but you and God. This is faith. This is faith between you and God. And you don't have to do it. Nobody's pressuring you. Nobody's squeezing you and saying, if you don't give, you know, you're somehow you're going to be ostracized around the church. No. There's no pressure on you to do this. This is an opportunity for you to have a part in reaching people with the gospel, for you to show compassion. Notice what he says in verse 8. This, I speak not by commandment. Paul says, look, you don't have to do this. Now, you need to tithe. I think the tithe is commanded, but not Faith Promise Missions. To get the gospel out is commanded. That's commanded. And this is a way we can do it. But this particular filling out this card, I've never told our people, you have to do this. I would if I thought God said it, but I don't think God said it. I think what we have is, God says, hey, this is a great opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. Now, if you don't have to do it, but you should do it. Notice again in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, because they need for you to do it, and you have an opportunity to help them, your brothers and sisters. And then he says in verse 8, to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, this is huge. To prove the sincerity of your love. You know, talk is cheap. We say that we love Jesus. We say that we love souls. And then we don't do anything about it. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Maybe we should say, oh, how I like Jesus. You know? We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And then when we have an opportunity to help Jesus with his heart, what is his heart is to get the gospel to other people. We have an opportunity to help him. We say, you know, I think I'll pass. No thanks. I don't want to get involved. My wife and I have been married for 46 years. We just celebrated January 29th, our 46th wedding anniversary. I love my wife. There's no question about it. I love my wife. And I understand that the most important thing in our relationship is not money. I get it. I've been married 46 years. I figured that one out. The most important thing is not money. But that does not mean it's not important. Correct? Sure, it's important. Let's suppose that when I get back to China Monday night, I come in Monday night and my wife says, oh man, I'm so glad you're home. She says, sweetheart, the rent is due. And by the way, let's see, well, I'll be home March 26th, right? 27th. The rent is due April 1st. And she says to me, honey, the rent is due on our apartment on April 1st and we don't have the money. I need some money to pay the rent. And I say to her, hey baby, I've been gone for a week. Papa's home. I love you. And she says, Well, honey, I love you too. Welcome home. I'm glad you're back. But sweetheart, the rent is due in 4 days. And we, you know, do you have any money? Can you give me the money to pay the rent? Hey, what's money between you and me, babe? Our relationship is deeper than money. Come give Papa a big hug. And she comes over and she gives me a hug. Mama Bear give Papa Bear a big hug, you know. I give her a big hug, kiss on the cheek, and she says, sweetheart, the rent? Right? That's not, look, the proof of sincerity of your love. If you love your wife, gentlemen, get a job. Right? You know, if you love your wife, get a job, go to work, bring home the bacon, bring home the money, pay the rent. If you love Jesus, you know, years ago in America, when I first got saved, I got saved in the 1970s. And in fact, I got saved in September of 1970. When I got saved in America, we had a thing that was going around in America. People would put bumper stickers on their car. You know what a bumper sticker is, right? You put a sticker on your bumper. And so, do you call it a bumper? The back of your car. So you put a sticker on the back of your car. And here's the one that was going around. If you love Jesus, honk. So one day I'm driving along the freeway and I see some guy's got a bumper sticker. And it said, if you love Jesus, tithe. Anybody can honk. Yeah, you know, hey, I love Jesus. I'll prove it. Beep, beep, beep. How about tithe? How about giving the missions? How about helping to reach the world with the gospel? Is it a command? No, it's showing compassion. Go back again to that verse. Verse 8. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice what Paul said. You know, K-N-O-W, need your thou. Right? You know. Need your thou. Or Cantonese, nichito. It's more, it's not just your head. It's not just wachueta. I think Jesus loves me. I know. I know the grace of God. Paul says to them, you know the grace of God. In other words, you've experienced the grace of God. If you have experienced the grace of God, then you don't have to do this, but you should be motivated to say, I want to help others experience the grace of God. Now let's be very, very frank. If Jesus has not done anything for you, don't bother to fill out the card. I mean, if you're sitting here today and you say, you know, Jesus has never done anything for me, okay, then you don't need to fill out the card. But if you're here this morning and you say, Jesus has saved me. He died for me. He loves me. He has a purpose for my life. I know the grace of God. I know God's grace in my life. Well, why would I not want to help others to know that grace? And so that's what Paul is saying here. You don't have to do this, but if you do, it proves you are sincere. It proves that whenever you're saying, Jesus, I love Jesus, when you knelt at the altar and you said, Lord Jesus, I love you, you meant it. It wasn't just talk. It was from my heart. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It proves the sincerity of your love. Question and answers. Is it a command? No. Number 3, is it for the local church? I've had people say, Pastor, is this for our church? No. No, it's not for our church. It is not for the church, but it is through the church. 100% of the faith promise offering goes to missions. Now, I'm going to step out on a limb here, because I think I know your pastor's heart enough, and if I'm wrong on this, then forgive me, I'm wrong, and I apologize. We don't use faith promise money for the addition on the building. Is it correct? Correct. All right. You don't use faith promise money to pay salaries. You don't use faith promise money to turn on the lights, pay the light bill. Correct. All right. So same thing in the churches I pastor. 100% goes to missions. The reason I'm a little bit hesitant on that, Pastor, is because I have heard of pastors that would maybe use Faith Promise missions for their bus ministry or their children's ministry or something like that. And I'm not against that. I just don't. Personally, I'm not comfortable with it. But I don't think it's wicked. I just don't do it. I think whenever you give to Faith Promise missions, and if you'll write down, I'm going to give X amount of money every week to missions, That ought to be taken, put it in a separate account. Don't touch it. It's only for missions. Now, it might be home missions. It might be planting a church in Australia. I would do that. At our church, I would use it for planting a church in America. But the bulk of it is for planting a church in other places. The point is, it goes out of your church. It goes through your church, but it doesn't stay in your church. This is genuine compassion. This is one of the most unselfish things you will ever do in your church. Because it's not going to help you. The addition will help you. That'll help you. The remodel, you're buying your gospel tracts, those help you. But this does, you don't see this. You don't see the results of this till you get to heaven. Unless God allows you to come through, some people to come through that you've been able to see, save through your missionaries. But the bulk of it, you're not going to see till you get to heaven. This is completely selfless, unselfish. It is something that you are doing for the sake of those around the world. You're doing this for others. And so, Faith Promise Missions, does it help the local church? No. It's not for the church. It's through the church. You have a part in every, by giving to Faith Promise Missions. So again, let's go back to this illustration. You give $100 a week or whatever it's going to be to missions. The church takes that $100 a week that you're giving, and then they combine it with the rest of the people are giving, and they use that to support missionaries like myself, and also not only myself, but through me, you're supporting missions projects around the world as well, around the 1040 window. You're supporting national pastors. And other missionaries, you're supporting them. Now, here's what's happening. You, with that $100 you're giving, you're having a part in every one of them. So let's suppose you've got 30 missionaries. You're having a part in every one of those 30 missionaries. In America, we have mutual funds. You have those, right? Mutual funds? A guy came up to me once and he said, okay, I think I'm explaining how this works. And one of my members came and he said, Pastor, I think I'm starting to get it. Faith Promise Missions is kind of like a no load, because we're paying no load on it, management fee. It's like a no load mutual fund spiritually. I said, yeah, I guess so. I wouldn't look at it exactly like that, but if it helps you to understand it, it's like I'm buying into a no load mutual fund for the kingdom of God, and we're taking that money and we're spreading it out. And I'm having a part in every one of those. You have a part in every one. Now, if you designate your missions money, which I don't think you should do. For example, I don't think you should take on my ministry personally. If some other missionary comes through, he's your favorite missionary, and you say, "Oh, I just love this guy. We're really connected with this guy, and so I'm going to give $100 a week to him." You're having a part in his ministry only, that ministry only. But if you take that money and give it through your church instead, now you're spreading it out, and you're helping to get the gospel more places than if you were to just take on one particular missionary yourself. Again, whatever, I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit to you and tell you what you can do, but I'm saying, for me, I think this is a much better plan to do, to give through Faith Promise. It's not for the local church; it's through the local church. Number four, does it take away from the regular offerings of the church? Again, the answer is no. It does not take away from the regular offerings. Sometimes people would say, when I first went to Liberty Baptist Church, we were deep in debt. We were 6 months, that's the last church I pastored. I was there for 25 years in Southern California. When I took that church, we were deep in debt. We were 6 months behind in building payments. The bank called me on the phone my first week there, said, "Reverend, we don't want to foreclose on a church, but we will. It's bad publicity to foreclose on a church and take your property away. But we will do it. We don't want to, but the manager said, but I'm telling you, we will take your property if you don't start making your payments." I said, "Okay, I understand. I've only been here for a week. Give me time. Work with me." And so they did. They worked with us, and we were able to get out of debt, and God did a lot of miracles in that church for 25 years. But when we first took that church, I became pastor in September. The following month, I said to our people, we need to start supporting missionaries. We don't support missionaries. And our folks, they didn't understand it. I introduced Faith Promise Missions to them. They said, "Pastor, we're not against it. But look at our church. we haven't made a building payment in 6 months. When I went there, I was 40 years old. I was pastoring a good church in Northern California, and I went to Southern California. And the deacon said to me, "We want you to be our pastor, but we can't pay you a salary. We can't afford to pay you." I said, "Guys, I'm 40 years old. I've got three teenagers. I'm pastoring a church that does pay me a salary." And I said, "Look, I'm not mercenary. I'm not in this thing for the money. But think about it. It's not practical for a 40-year-old man with three teenagers to move to a city with no salary, and take a church." And they said, "Yeah, we know it's not practical, but we really believe you're the man God wants here." And the problem was, I believed it too. And so I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And I said, "But here's what we're going to do. We're going to make the building payment first, and then second, we're going to pay salaries. Okay? That's going to be our priority. We'll keep the doors open, and then we're going to pay our staff." So I get, they said, "Okay." So I got there, and a lot of times we didn't get paid, but they eventually made it up. God was good. But so then a month later, I'm saying, "Let's support missionaries." And they're saying, "Pastor, let's get you on first. Let's take care of our ministry first." And I said, "It's going to take money away from the church." I said, It's not. It will not take money away from the church. This is new money. This is money we are not already currently giving. I'm asking you to do this over and above your tithe. Over and above your tithe. This is money that we're going to give to missions, and God will honor it. God will bless it. God will be pleased with it. And I'm telling you, within 7 years, we were out of debt. When I left that church, we had $18 million U.S. dollars worth of property. I mean, God's good. 80,000 square feet of building space. When I went, we had 20,000 square feet. Now they have 80,000 square feet. When I went, we had 120 parking stalls. We now have 400 paid parking stalls. I mean, God did unbelievable miracles for 25 years there. And I'm not saying he did it only because of faith promise, but I'm saying that's part of the equation here. God blesses us. God will bless you. This is not going to take, if we do this properly. Now, if you're tithing that, let's go back. You're tithing that $100 a week. Now, that's your tithe. That's what you're giving now. Do not take the card and write 20 on it and then start giving 80 to your general fund and 20 to missions. Don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. That's going to hurt the church. But you're tithing now at 100, and God lays on your heart 20. You write 20, and then you begin giving 120. This is new money. And God will bless you for it, and God will bless your church for it. If we keep the main thing, if we take care of God's business, He takes care of ours, right? So we say, "God, what is your business?" Getting the gospel around the world. Okay, we're going to make that a priority. Then God says, "You know what? I like that. I'm going to take care of you too. Because you're doing what I told you to do." Let me wrap this up. Number five, who should be involved? Last question. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Who should be involved in this? You say, "Okay, I understand it, but who should do it?" Verse 2 Corinthians 9:7. "Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver." Every man. Now, ladies, that includes every woman as well. This is mankind generic here. It's not based upon age, gender, economic condition. You might say, "Well, you know, I don't have as much money as other people in the church do." Every man. This is not based upon your income. We give proportionally. As God has blessed you, you give. You may not be able to give as much as the next person. It's okay. God's not, we're not, there's no place for your name on this card. What we're asking is everybody to do what God asked them to do. And then you give proportionally. Now, let me say this to you, and I want you to please try to get this. Get this. Giving is never a matter of can or cannot. It's a matter of will or will not. Giving is, you might say, "Well, hey, I can't give. I don't have anything." Come on. Again, remember, it wasn't last night I was born. You don't have anything? You have nothing? I mean, if we held you upside down, shook you, not even two little coins would come out of your pockets? How could we honestly say, "I have nothing"? Of course we don't. Of course we have something. We could give something. Giving is not a matter of can or cannot. It's a matter of will or will not. I got saved. Last thing, I'll say this to you. No, we're gonna stop. I got saved when I was 20 years old in a landmark Missionary Baptist church. Now, there are independent Missionary Baptist churches that are good churches. I preached at one last Sunday. Missionary Baptist Church, good independent Baptist church, good church. The church I got saved in was not an independent Baptist church. We were old-fashioned. You know, today it's popular to have the, you know, hashtag old paths. You go back to church I got saved in, I'll show you old paths. We were so old-fashioned, we didn't even have a path. We just had, you know, we didn't have a dirt road. I mean, we just had a, you know, just the woods. You know, we were old-fashioned. And here's how, but they preached the gospel, and I got saved in that old-fashioned church. They did things the same way all the time, never a change, never. I mean, it was almost the unpardonable sin to do anything different. And every time I go to Watsonville, California, I go next door, I look up that church, I go next door, I knock on the door, I meet the pastor, I tell him who I am, I say, would you mind, I got saved in here in 1970, would you mind if I just go next door and spend a few minutes there in your auditorium? He always walks me over, opens the door, lets me come in. I always sit in there and I look, and it's exactly the way it was 46 years ago. I mean, everything's exactly the same. And everything. And I always kneel at the altar where I got saved and thank the Lord for saving me. Old paths. Here's how we ended every service, sir. I'm sorry, here's how we took the offering at every service. We had one deacon. Never had two. Always had one. So I'm okay with having one. But I'm just saying, we never had two. Ever. One. And so the pastor, my pastor, would always ask the deacon to pray. Nobody else prayed. Deacon prayed before the offering. Here's what he would pray. Always the same. He'd walk up. He'd say, Dear Lord, it's time to take the offering. Maybe like God didn't know, you know. Lord, it's time to take the offering. He'd always say the same thing. He'd say, please bless those who give, and please bless those who can't. He never said cannot. He said can't. Can't is an English word which means cannot in the South. And so he would say, Dear Lord, it's time to take the offering. Please bless those who give, and please bless those who can't. Cannot, in other words. Years have gone by. Years and years have gone by. I've learned a few things through the years. I'm not suggesting that the deacon in our church do this today during the offering. If the deacon, if you pray, whoever prays for the offering, I'm not suggesting you do this. Please don't do this. But if we wanted to really be a little more scriptural, maybe what that deacon should have said was this: Dear Lord, it's time to take the offering. Please bless those who give. And dear Lord, just give a little spanking to those who won't. In Jesus' name, amen. Because it never was a matter of can or can't. It was a matter of will or won't. What does God want you to do? Let's ask God what He wants us to do. Faith, promise, missions. Thanks for your time.